Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's having a great Monday here. I don't know about you, Bruce, but I'm stoked.
Bro.
I'm amped up, jacked up, excited today, Bruce.
It's my new name, man. I'll be looking for that in the mail. I get every kind of Bruce.
It was like Bruce with bro together. Bruce.
I like it. Another neologism for the show, man. We've gone through quite the pig Latin here in the last couple of weeks. So, well, good. Good afternoon to you there, and I gave you some likes earlier today. Talk a little bit about your webinar, man. I think I might even, if I have a chance, if I'm not seeing any clients, I might want to log on to that just to hear more about sales and channel partners. And
yeah, it's kind of a continuation of what we honestly have been talking about on this show the last couple of weeks around buyer's journey and really just maximizing exposure, for a business. But obviously, you know, one of my key projects right now with Vablet, we're trying to do more with less, like every company out there. And webinars have been popular, but are becoming even more hyper popular in this, I call it, self-guided buyer's journey that is becoming imperative for every company to have. And so it's something that we thought up of, hey, what are some ways that you can allow for or open up some doors for a self-guided buyer's journey outside of just someone landing on your website? And this concept around providing value-added content in a webinar format to those that are interested, you know, came to mind. So we built this whole campaign around it, which, you know, we're going to have boosted posts and all that on across all the social media channels as well. So I'm excited. I'm going to be talking about some of my personal and professional growth hacks next Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, surrounding, again, as you said, mostly sales, mobile sales engagement, right? How to maximize your mobile sales engagement if you have an organization, no matter how large or small. I'm going to be talking through those growth hacks. So I'm really excited to, try something new, if you will, especially in light of everything we've been talking about here on the show.
Now, for our baby boomer listeners, does the word hack in that context mean like shortcut?
It means shortcut. Right on. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Growth hack. Yeah. It doesn't mean security hack, like breach of your security. Just so we're clear. But it does mean shortcut.
I had a hatchet out here. I was about ready to hit this oak tree. I didn't. Okay. Hack. Okay. No, just kidding.
You're about to go Paul Bunyan on your oak tree out there?
What the hell's a hack? Prison guard, that's a slang term, and then for somebody who's maybe not so good at something, but this in this instance, it's a shortcut. But anyway, cool. No, I know what you meant, but I knew there's going to be some boomer listeners out there going, what the hell is he saying?
Yeah, it's really cool. And so then I guess I'll just add one other thing, you know, for those that might be curious, and they're like, hey, I want to maybe look into doing a webinar. So, you know, Zoom, which there's lots of platforms out there, but we're conducting it over Zoom. And, you know, for a webinar seat, it starts at, and I think it's like $40 a month. You know, don't quote me on that because I'm not a Zoom rep, but it's something like $40 a month. And you can host, you know, unlimited webinars with up to 100, I want to say it's about 100 participants on that webinar. So if you think about that, if you were to fill out, you know, 100, you know, people and just do one webinar a month, What's the cost per seat on that? It's like, 40 cents per seat.
All right.
So it's pretty much next to nothing to get in front of a captive, not mass audience, but captive audience, let's say qualified captive audience. And so, really progressive, nice way to get in front of the right people on that, again, quote unquote, self-guided buyer's journey. So that's what we're going to be doing. And what they say, I'm not going to be talking too much about Vablet, although Vablet will be interwoven into it. I'm going to be really talking about the market. I'm going to be talking about the industry, the market, changes that are taking place. And yeah, there'll be a little bit of Vablet that'll be woven in, but people don't want it to be a, hey, let me get up and give my sales pitch for an hour. That shit's gone. Like, people don't, in fact, they despise it. So I won't be doing that. But admittedly, there are some things that Vablet as a platform would help with. But again, that's not the intention. It's just to talk about more of the process and mechanics of how do you optimize this within your company, again, no matter how large or small.
Very nice. Well said. Well said. So you're going to have some meaningful takeaways, some meaningful information that has its own legs, regardless of who is, I guess, like you said, sponsoring or, the idea of Vablet being woven into that. It's going to have its own merits, regardless of the of the service or what have you solution, I
That's
guess, for
right.
Vablet. So that's good.
That's right.
That's
What were,
very
well,
good.
so since you put me on the spot, we'll put you on the spot. I know we have a great guest here, but what were
We
you
do
up
have a
to
great
last
guest.
week?
We have a great
What were you
guest.
up to last week?
Man, what was I up to? I have to scroll through my social media. I had a lot of family in town. I have a son graduated high school this
That's
weekend,
right.
so that was a huge deal, an accomplishment, and looking, it was good to have some family fly in from the East Coast and be here in Texas. And we took them on the Pleasantville run and the Stockyards run and some other stuff. And they enjoyed Texas. And I know our guest is possibly a wannabe Texan here in a few months or years, but no, but yeah, it was a good week and really busy and I did learn some interesting marketing stuff from HBO and some other bigger companies, and then some other stuff on working with a client at like a Barclays type of vetting of selling selling a startup from a private equity perspective. But whew, I know that's kind of out of the stratosphere for an old guy like me, but we'll talk about that here in the coming weeks as I get my head around how do you sell a billion-dollar startup? You know what I mean? It's pretty intensive stuff. So anyhow, which
Wow,
I
that's
wish,
exciting.
yeah, that is
So,
just my theory. Believe me, folks. I'm not getting any money or not. I'm not. We'll see. Not getting anything like that out of the deal, but I'm glad to be in the room as a vicarious bystander, seeing some of these things happen. Anyway, so that's
Nice.
kind of what happened on this end, and this week I had a chance to reconnect with our guest, Christy. So Christy Klimsu is our guest today, and she and I, reconnected through some social media, and one of the things that fascinates me about her work is one of the things we have in common is natural solutions, naturopathic types of things. But one of the big things, Justin, that is kind of coming out again and again is this notion of what is leaky gut. This is a this health autoimmune type of a disorder that a lot of people have, and we'll focus a little bit around that and some other things. So without further to Christy, are you still there?
I'm here.
Woo! I know. It's like, man, it's like a pretty good waiting period. There. You're waiting.
Quite a mouthful, Bruce.
Nice and quiet. I know. Usually we're just like, and, you know, and our guest today, we had a little bit of front stuff today. Well, thanks for coming on the show and being with us and kind of introduce yourself to our listeners. What got you interested in the space that you're working in, and tell us a little bit about your history and what got you to where you're at today.
Yeah, well, basically what got me into this space was I was always into nutrition. I've always been like in the fitness world and industry. But over time I developed just things were not right in my body. And basically what was happening to me was I was overdoing the things that I was doing to stay fit, like overly doing them too intensely and just wearing my body out. So I had the adrenal fatigue and chronic fatigue, you know, food sensitivities and everything. And things just kind of started to spiral down for me. And then on top of that, you know, the physical stress, I had emotional stress. I was going through a divorce and then a really tough relationship. And things just really started damaging my body. And I didn't really understand what it was for a long time. So I did go through like 7 or 8 years where I was pretty sick. Just, you know, because adrenal fatigue and leaky gut actually go hand in hand because of the cortisol and the nerves in the gut and everything. So when I finally realized what was happening with me after spending, you know, X amount of dollars on doctors and naturopathic doctors, holistic doctors, buying tons of herbs and, you know, acupuncture, and just not really understanding why am I not getting better. I just started to research and study more, and I just uncovered, like, okay, hey, I have adrenal fatigue. This is adrenal fatigue. And so if you have leaky gut and adrenal fatigue, you can't heal the gut until the adrenal fatigue is healed. So I just started targeting the adrenal fatigue and eating the right foods. And obviously I was plant-based, and just the right food combinations, and really taking some time to relax and be a little selfish. And so I healed myself that way. And so that's basically what I do with my clients, is we go fully plant-based, whole foods, foods that are going to heal and nourish and help the adrenals to heal. And yeah, so mindset, I work on mindset with them and a few other things that are really important in the healing process.
Okay, let me jump in there. So I think some of the takeaways are, and a lot of the people that that I coach, right, whether it be life coaching or executive coaching, are coming out of very high stress situations or are in the midst of a high stress situation that is, you know, the cortisol then is increased because of the fight or flight with, you know, the adrenal glands get up there. And and some folks don't respond to their stress well. They either get clinically depressed, they get angry, take it out, take it inward. God forbid they self-medicate with booze or chemicals. And then some people then self-medicate, or you use food abusively. And sadly, I have to watch that myself on the food front. I mean, I will crave certain sweets at night and those things. And but to my credit, I still have my chickpea, my hippies, my chickpea puffs here that resemble Cheetos. And I know there's a little bit of sodium in them, but at least I get to feel good about myself eating a chickpea versus a Cheeto, which is a huge, huge thing for me. But anyway, but this is a very real thing. So people hear leaky gut and they think, oh, you're some sort of a naturopathic weirdo or crystal wearer, you know, whatever. No, wait, you know, so this is something that a lot of people could be very close to, or maybe have it and not even know they have it, or it could be something that's silent or with continued abuse could develop into a problem.
So, right, yeah. And most people with autoimmune, well, I mean, everyone with an autoimmune disorder has a leaky gut.
So explain that. If you can explain that. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, if you have like low thyroid, let's just say, for instance, Hashimoto's or low thyroid. So either your thyroid gland is toxic and you're not getting enough iodine, or the gut is not healthy. The gut bacteria is not healthy because the thyroid hormones are actually made in the gut. So basically, by healing the gut, it allows the thyroid hormones to start producing properly. Inflammation is extremely common and pretty much unavoidable if you have leaky gut. And so inflammation can be anywhere in your body, your organs, your arm, your leg. And so that actually causes autoimmune as well. The thing about the adrenals and the cortisol is we're all meant to have stressful situations, and that's what the adrenals are there for. Is, you know, the cortisol is there for to help within those stressful situations, but they're not supposed to last days long or weeks long or months long. Those situations or those events are supposed to be like, you know, maybe 30 minutes long or an hour long, and then it calms down and the cortisol comes back to normal. But what happens when the cortisol is high for too long, then that's when the gut starts to get damaged. And then people will see weight gain and all kinds of things happening, hair falling out, hormones going out of whack, because we're not meant to be in such fight or flight for so long.
Great point. Right, that sustained stress reaction then starts to take its toll on various organs of the body. And
right.
So now, I know I'm kind of going out of order here, but now isn't, because sometimes folks, for some folks, they need to avoid dairy because isn't dairy a source of inflammation, or is that correct for some people, or what's your take on that, or have you run into that?
The dairy, you know, all of my clients, I recommend that they cut out the dairy, and most see a huge change just with that alone. You know, the thing is that it's not like it was, you know, 50 years ago. It's got, you know, there's hormones in there, there's antibiotics, and the animals aren't treated well like they used to be on grandma's farm. That's another reason. And not only that, there's things in dairy that our bodies just are not meant to have. We're the only, you've probably heard this before, we're the only creatures on earth that actually drink another creature's milk. So, you know, if someone's used to eating dairy and they have a strong gut and they're fine with it, then go ahead. But I feel like, there's no way to avoid cutting dairy out if you have an autoimmune disorder, because your body, it's not going to allow the body to heal. In order for the body to heal, you need to cut out all of the toxins, all of the excess hormones, the synthetic hormones, the chemicals, the antibiotics, and you have to allow the body to heal by doing that. So, yeah, dairy is definitely not a great thing for someone who has leaky gut.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's a great point, that the milk that we drink now is not the milk that I grew up with in the 60s or 70s or even 80s for that matter. You know what I mean? It's a whole different product,
right.
You know. Same thing with, you know, so kids that come off and they're smoking dank weed, like, man. And the parents come in, I used to smoke a little bit of that brown. I'm like, man, no, the weed these kids are smoking is nothing like, you know what I mean? Just sorry. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Like dab cartridges. No, what the hell? Like, no, And I'm sorry to train wreck your great healthy discussion with the weed, but you know what I mean? It's just everything today is more potent. Everything today is more seemingly possibly more toxic. You know what I mean? So, I mean, not everything obviously, but many things, you know, and that we buy. So let's talk about what you do with your clients or folks that you work with. Do you put them through some sort of an assessment first, and then what kind of walk us through some of your work, how that works for you?
Oh yeah, well, most of the time we'll kind of go and do like an audit, a lifestyle audit, and just kind of look at the things that they're doing and point things out that are not working for them, go through and just change those things around. A lot of people who come to me are like literally desperate for the help, and they're just done searching for answers, and they will do anything that I tell them to. And in that case, I just full on change everything right away. And they're fine with it, and they love it. They love the lifestyle, whole food, plant-based, high carb lifestyle. And when I say high carb, I'm not talking about cookies or donuts or, you know, anything like that. It's whole foods, potatoes, quinoa, squash, fruits, vegetables. And this lifestyle is very healing. So we'll meet a couple times a week. I check in on them. They have a way to contact me all day long, any day, and ask me questions. And most of the time, they feel better within about 3 days, crazily enough. You know, just take out all the bad stuff and like, voila, there you go. You feel better. And we go into things like mindset and, you know, make sure they're getting the right kind of exercise, not going full blown, you know, bodybuilder competition status. But yeah, we go over pretty much all the points, lifestyle, mindset, making sure they're getting enough sleep, making sure they're drinking enough water, making sure they're being accountable. We got positive affirmations, positive thinking. I give them exercises to change their mindset, and it just works for them. It works for myself. It works for them. There's not one client that has been like, you know, this is just not working for me. So it's really for anyone. Even if you don't have leaky gut, if you don't have autoimmune disease, and you're just trying to feel better and, you know, do better for yourself, this is the lifestyle to choose.
We'll talk about mindset for a minute. I'm a big mindset person, so kind of walk me through what are some of the exercises you use, or what are some of the techniques that you use with the mindset piece?
The mindset is very important. I mean, if someone is trying to change their lifestyle but constantly negative about it or unsure about it, or, you know, like I've had clients, you know, constantly questioning is what they're doing right. And when you're in that kind of mindset, things aren't going to work out for you. For instance, you're not going to lose weight, or your body's not going to heal, or you're going to still be stressed out, and that stress is going to put a damper on your healing. So really just, like I said, positive affirmations, talking to yourself in a positive way, changing those negative thoughts immediately to positive ones. And these are things that you have to practice all day long, because they're habits, and we have to change our habits. One of the things I like to do is have them visualize things, visualize themselves, you know, feeling better and looking great, and imagining that, and imagining when they're eating this food, like being grateful and praying on this food, and just things like that, that really helps a person to think more positive about what they're doing, because what the mind believes, the body will follow. There are some other exercises that I teach them. Like, I mean, I personally went through hypnotherapy while I was going through my healing, because I had such a hard time changing those habits, because I had been telling myself negative things for so long and really hating myself for too long that it was so hard to get out of it. But for me, I use, like, one of the exercises I use is telling them to go in a dark room, just lay down, close your eyes, really, just really relax and visualize, you know, your adult self going in and hugging your child self and just telling that self, like, I love you and I'm here and, you know, I'm worth it and I'm sorry for treating you so badly. Things like that that really help to change the subconscious mind into loving yourself. And I've had people with eating disorders that I had to change their mindset. And that was something that I had to get over as well, because I've been through all of it. I've had eating disorders. I've had body dysmorphia, anorexia, anorexia, bulimia, which is like just, you know, I've had everything. So I understand where they're coming from and I understand what they're going through and how they feel. So it's really easy for me to kind of go in and help them change that mindset. But for instance, someone with an eating disorder, I ask them, why is it that you don't deserve to eat this food? Why is it that you're not deserving of nourishment? Or, you know, if you had a child, would you starve that child? Would you tell that child you can't eat carbohydrates or you need to go on a low carb diet? Like, really just understanding what it is to love yourself and actually give yourself permission to nourish your body, basically.
Man,
I mean, there's a lot of things that I use. Everyone's in a different situation and position, and I just kind of go back and look at the things that I used for myself, and I help them with those things, and it really works.
From the different eating disorder, the different eating disorder mindsets, like, there's a different mindset with bulimia than there is with anorexia, which is how is one easier to deal with as a coach, or it just depends on the person, or if you could maybe compare and contrast those two mindsets, the anorectic mindset versus the bulimic, or, you know, if there are differences in your opinion.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that either one is more difficult. There are differences. Just for instance, anorexia is you're eating, you're probably not eating enough, but you are exercising your life away. Bulimia is you're starving yourself so long, and then your body says, okay, I can't take it anymore, so I'm going to stuff down 3,000 calories in this one sitting. I'm going to feel sick, and then I'm going to go make myself throw up. You know, and then you have starvation, where people use that to kind of control and punish themselves. Maybe there's childhood trauma that happened early on in life, and for me, that's kind of what happened to me. But it's punishment. It's like control and punishment. I'm only going to eat, you know, 200 or 300 calories today because I think I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to control my body weight, and I'm going to control, you know, how I feel inside by doing this. But, you know, obviously,
And if in the DSM series, anorexia is a childhood disorder. And a lot of times the power and control issues are kind of messed up. And the thing about anorexia in particular is that this is one thing you can take control of. It's maladaptive, but you you are gaining that sense of control by what you're doing with your body. Is that
right?
Your experience.
Right. And sadly, a lot of my leaky gut clients do come from an eating disorder and also childhood trauma, obviously, because that is huge. That plays a huge part in your health later on in life, maybe not immediately in your childhood, but as you get older. You know, I'm seeing a lot of my clients are between like 18 and 40. So it shows up later on in life.
What shows up?
Oh, the leak of gut.
Yeah. It's a symptom of a deeper cause that manifests over years of time. I think is what you're saying. Is that right?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Well then, yeah. So that very powerful.
What were you
stuff.
Asking me?
No, that answers the question real well. I mean, I just. You know, and both of those, anorexic and bulimic mindsets, both are a form of body dysmorphia, you know. So, and then that also is a resulting mindset or disorder, if you will, but mindset of the person. So it sounds like, you know, with these many of your clients, there's a lot going on psychologically behind their diet.
Right. Yeah, it's control. It's a huge control thing. And unfortunately, over time, that really damages the health because obviously we need to be nourished and we need calories and we need food. So controlling that and starving yourself or limiting those nutrients, it ages you. It causes a tremendous amount of ailments in your body. So a lot of people are really amazed when they're coming from 200 or 300 calories and they're like, I don't know why I can't lose weight or I can't, you know, I'm not healing or I'm not just not feeling good. And then I give them, you know, like 2,000 calories to eat. And they're actually losing weight. And they're like, I don't understand, you know, it's because your body needed this as fuel to do the functions that it needed to do to get you where you wanted to be. So teaching them just how important it is to nourish their bodies is really key.
I would be curious your perspective. I know this is a little maybe off script here. So thank you for enduring the question. But I've been doing a lot of research around fasting lately, right? What is your take on fasting or intermittent fasting? I know there's some different trends going on around fasting. Obviously done strategically with the concept of ridding your body of unnecessary toxins. Where do you stand on that spectrum?
Well, I actually have an experience I can share with you on fasting. I'll share my experience and then I'll tell you briefly what I think about fasting. So I actually did during my time where I was trying to heal and I had gone to a more holistic natural doctor. He wasn't actually an MD, but he was more on the holistic side. And he recommended that I do 90 days juice only. And I did that for actually 105 days. Jeez. And I mean, literally, I did not have a bite of food. I drank juice throughout the whole 105 days. I lost 20 pounds. Wow. And I don't need to lose weight. So for me losing 20 pounds, I was literally 88 pounds. So I was pretty emaciated. I felt great though, because I was getting so many nutrients. I was getting like all the enzymes, all the vitamins that I needed from the juice, and it was going straight to my cells and my skin looked great. The thing was that once I came off of that juice fast, I did gain a lot of weight back because obviously I was in a famine and then I started eating and my body's like, well, we don't know when she's going to do this to me again. So we're going to hold on to everything. So that's that.
I
did feel great during the fast and I did get used to I think the first week was the most difficult. The second week was like, oh, this is a breeze. So I damaged my metabolism.
Interesting.
Yeah. What I feel about it is that I think a juice fast is okay. I would never do it for 105 days again. I think the most you can do a juice fast for without eating food and like cutting down so many calories is maybe 3 days. Fasting, a water fast, I do not recommend. I would recommend 1 day if you really want to do it. 1 day is good enough. Intermittent fasting is fine. You could do like a 16-hour fast, a 14-hour fast, but I do not recommend those things if you have an eating disorder, because that creates more of a disorder. So if a client comes to me and says, "What do you think about fasting?" If I know their history and I know they have an eating disorder past behind them, I always tell them no. Fast during the night, maybe fast a couple of hours in the morning, and that's it. Because I want them to learn that taking food away is not the best thing in the world. If you're trying to learn to give yourself permission. So there's my take on that. I do not think fasting is a bad thing, but I don't recommend it for a long time. You can damage your metabolism, and then obviously you don't want to gain weight. Fasting, basically, it will cause weight loss for the short term, but once you start eating it again, it will put it back on if you're not careful.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And by the way, the question was coming from not a place of like trying to lose weight or anything like that. It was more of a fascination with it, A, and B, surrounding more of the ridding your body of like the unwanted toxins and whatnot, which there's several ways to do that. That was just one way that I had been reading up on personally that kept coming up over and over and over again. I do tend to agree, by the way, 105 days. I mean, kudos to you. That's probably 104 more days than I could personally do on a juice fast. So.
Yeah, I was actually pretty afraid to start eating again. So after the 90, I was like, okay, I really don't know what to eat after this. So that's why I kept going. And I don't know how I did it, but I actually went on a cruise and stayed on my juice fast.
Dang.
So,
oh, wow.
It was pretty, it was pretty interesting. But the detoxifying and allowing your body to rest and to heal, I do think that fasting is a great thing for that. I think for someone with like cancer or, you know, real serious illnesses, chronic illnesses, I don't think it's a bad thing. Maybe water for like a day and then juice the next day. I mean, I don't know exactly how I would do it. I would have to think about it, but I think it is a great way to help the body to rest the digestive system and to kind of send energy in other areas to heal and detoxify.
Yeah, that's now you said you had affected, you know, damaged your metabolism. Did that juice fast damage your metabolism, in your opinion?
I believe it did. Yeah, I do believe it did, because my body got so used to eating or taking in, I would say, I mean, I if I had to guess, maybe 600, 800 calories a day, which is definitely not enough for the activity I was doing. I was also doing like hot yoga and doing some walking, some running here and there, a little bit of weight training. But now, knowing now what I didn't know then, I would have rested my body. I wouldn't have worked out. I would have done a little bit of light yoga, but nothing like sweating my butt off in 110 degrees working out. It did damage it, because once I did go from the juice fast to like a high carb, like just all fruit diet. And I was probably eating about, I don't know, 2000 calories, and I didn't gain the weight back. But when I started incorporating other foods, I did gain weight. So I feel like it just didn't do a good thing for my metabolism. And what I would have to say it was from is probably just because I was in such a famine that by the time I was done, I was so hungry, I didn't care. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, makes total sense.
And that's the thing with fasting, is that I think people will lose weight and then And then eventually they're going to just start eating more and more calories because the body wants to stay. The body is meant to be in a homeostasis, you know, and a balance. And if you take that away, then it, obviously things are going to not be, your hormones are going to be out of balance and, you know, your gut and everything will be out of balance. And you don't want that. Everything needs to be at a homeostasis, what I say. So that's my opinion on that.
No, I think that's a good stance, and I think it's, you know, very, very common sense. I mean, you know, like you said, we're designed to sustain and, you know, withstand stress to a certain level, and that's why we have, like you said, the adrenals, and we have the reactions that we have, and we need to kind of stay within the parameters, I think, that we were created to, you know, the stuff that we were created to eat and consume, you know. So and when we get when we get far outside of that, there's consequences, you know what I mean? And so it just, you know, it just seems really tough, because psychologically there's just a lot of psychological needs that get met by food and drink, you know. And it really does impact our mood, you know, and some of the stuff that we take in our bodies that isn't good for us gives us the illusion of positively impacting our mood, at least maybe for the moment, you know, and then to make those dietary changes, man, you know, that mindset has to follow, you know, and you know, I myself have been up and down in weight, you know, and my mindset just drove the bus each time, you know. I mean, there were times when the, you know, mindset was spot on, you know, I was good to go. But then, you know, there have been other times where my mindset has just been horrible, you know, and I, you know, without accountability or really, you know, checking myself the way I should, I could make some bad intake choices, food wise. So yeah, it's that's why coaching and having somebody help you with, you know, I know all these diet programs are like, yes, and we have diet counselors that help you and accountability and this and that. So they're, you know, a lot of these plans now have accountability coaches and coaching to help the clients with their weight goals and whatnot.
Right. And I, one thing I really love about what I do is people that I work with and myself, we don't count calories. We don't track food. We just know, you know, intuitive eating, listening to your hunger cues, listening to your body, understanding what you're feeling in that moment. You know, do I really need that ice cream, or am I actually just thirsty, or, you know, just really being in tune with what you're feeling. And I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you how much I weigh or how many calories I eat. I just eat intuitively. I know I feel good. My clothes fit well and my mood is always great. So, and my health is good and I've healed everything. So that's basically how my clients track what they're feeling. And I think taking that stress from having to write a journal of what they're eating every day, or counting, okay, I've had 100 carbs today, I'm done. You know, that also creates more stress on someone. So people really love this lifestyle that I help them with and lead them to. And I haven't really seen anyone go back to eating normal. They all love it. They all feel great. And they all are, I mean, I have people getting off of medications and diabetics eating a high carb diet that are just in awe of what their bodies are doing, and their insulin dosages are decreasing, and it's just really amazing what our bodies can do if we put the right foods in it.
Absolutely, the whole notion of food is medicine, you know.
Yeah,
is you know, I'm been embracing that. So I don't know if I went through with my own intuitive eating, it still needs some work because of the intuitive ice cream at night that would, I'd have to like, no, you know, and yeah, that intermittent fast, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, from 11
p.m. Well, you know what it is? You don't feel bad enough yet.
Right. So, yeah, man, I woke up this morning, that was my intermittent fast, you know, from a couple hours before I went to bed. So, yeah, just trying to, you know, not eat after a certain. Now, how do you feel about that, about not eating after 8 p.m. or not eating certain foods after a certain point of time in the evening? Do you have any kind of formulaic things there, or is it just whatever each person needs at the time?
Well, it is based on what you're feeling at the time. Also, I do give them like a meal plan example. I do give out meal plans, but I don't want them to have to feel so constricted to, you know, one meal plan a day. So they really learn, and I really work with them on this, like the food combination. And I think it's hard. It's really hard for me to say, because if someone's trying to lose weight, I tell them, you know, don't stop eating just because it's 7 p.m. because your body doesn't stop working at 7 p.m. You know, it's not really like that. But if you're trying to lose weight, try stopping eating, you know, maybe 2 or 3 hours before bed, because you want those hormones to be working properly when you first go to sleep, and, you know, in those first few hours, and you don't want that energy going to digesting food. Something you could do is, like, you know, eat your dinner sometime around 7, and then at like 9, if you're feeling like you want something sweet, I always tell them eat some dates or, like, you know, some kind of sweet fruit or a dried fruit, because that's really what we're craving is something sweet. So why not get it from fruit? And then that fruit actually helps you to fall asleep faster. It digests much quicker. It doesn't take much energy to digest it. And it doesn't do anything to, you know, your weight loss.
It's a good point. It's a good point. So, yes, because you don't want those hormones. That's right. You want to be able to sleep and have your 5-hydroxytryptamine and serotonin and everybody helping you sleep and not digesting food while you're trying
exactly.
to sleep.
So, you want that growth hormone producing, so you stay looking nice and healthy and
there
burning
we go.
Fast.
I need that. I need all the hormone I can get here. Yes, sir. Coming up on in my late 50s here. So, yes, I can. Things aren't the way they used to be when I was Justin's age. So you got to really I got to really pay attention to what I'm doing. Be more mindful, be in the moment of what I'm doing, be aware. Anyway, well, good stuff. I appreciate, your insight, and you sound like a real easy person to work with, really chill, relaxed. And like you said, you know, I can see you tracking with your clients really well and kind of, you know, helping them with their goals and different ways that they can get there. So, you know, I'm sure that as you continue on, that you're going to have a successful practice and get more and more clients. So, I think you're doing
doing
a great job. Yeah. So, well, Kim, how can our listeners reach you if they're listening to this on the podcast or on iTunes? How what's the best way or ways that folks can reach you?
You know, they can go to my Instagram page right now. I'm in the works of some other projects and things that I'm doing to help my clients be able to reach me better and, you know, have a group to kind of get more support from. But for right now, they can go on my Instagram. My Instagram handle is Christy Marie, KristyMarie .healingcoach. And they can DM me there, or they can send me an email from there, and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Yes, I've been there, and very, very good shots of you in various capacities. And good job with the Instagram, and I know you have a Facebook under construction, and but yeah, that'll be that's really good. Well, thanks for coming on the show today. Thanks for answering our questions. You did real well on your oral
oral
exam today with Justin.
Did I pass?
You passed, man.
You passed. You passed. Thank you, Christy.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for having me. It was fun. Hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, hopefully we can. That'd be great. Well, folks, that's another great show here on the Yes, indeed. Yep. Well, folks, that was a great show today we had, and come back next week or go to our iTunes and check out all our past shows here on the Concierge Coaches Show. They're archived on the LA Talk Radio site, and they're also available for you for free on iTunes. We're also on LinkedIn and Instagram at the Concierge Coaches, and I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Nimmergood.com. So just my last name.com. Look forward to connecting with everyone in the coming weeks.
All righty then. So it's a wrap. So again, everybody, thanks for listening to the show, and we'll see you here next week. Same time, same channel, LA Talk Radio, Concierge Coaches Show. Have a great week, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.